My guest at this time is George Carneal. He is the author of From Queer to Christ, My Journey into the Light. The book is his story of emerging from 25 years of active homosexuality and embracing salvation in Jesus Christ, a faith he had rejected for decades. And George, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
You write in the book that you sensed same-sex attraction as a pretty young boy, but didn't act on it until after you graduated from high school. What convinced you that you were gay?
I had actually been struggling with it since I was a kid. And I had mentioned in the book, I did have an experience with a boy, I think when I was in around fourth or fifth grade. And something about it felt right, but it was just something I still struggled with all through junior high and high school. After graduating and meeting a guy in a nearby town and just meeting up and having dinner and what have you, it was then that I knew that it just felt right for me, and I felt that that's what I was, that I was gay.
Often you'll hear from folks who defend the gay lifestyle and the LGBT community that people are born that way. Did you think that then, and what do you think now?
I thought it then, but now what I've come to understand, I feel like what God has revealed, is that we live in a broken world. We all struggle with some kind of sin, and I think whether your sin, whatever it is, I just felt like that was just something that I was going to have to struggle with. I have no idea where it came from, why I had those feelings. I don't feel that I was born with it, and looking back on it now and in terms of what God has done in my life, I really feel like once he gives you the healing and the wholeness from brokenness that I had, I can now see that, no, I was not born with it.
Talking with George Carneal, the book is From Queer to Christ. And one of the other things you talk about in the book, and I've seen it on interviews that you've done as well, George, is that when you embraced the homosexual lifestyle after graduating from high school, part of it was just finding acceptance, because when you struggled with this and had questions about it when you were younger, you didn't necessarily find much acceptance from your own family and from the church you grew up in, correct?
Right. The struggle was, I think there was really a disconnect with my male peers in school and being rejected by them. And I think going to church and being raised in the South by a Southern Baptist minister, especially in the Deep South in the 70s, this was something that really wasn't accepted. And I felt just out of place with everything. And just everywhere I was, and I think what really caused me to embrace the life that I did was when you grow up getting that kind of rejection, especially from your male peers, and you get negative attention, and I'm being assaulted and beaten up and just called all these names. The first time I walked into a gay bar, to have guys look at you and either want to be with you or just want to be friends with you, and it was a positive interaction versus the negative that I had grown up with. That's why I so quickly got embraced that life, because it was a safe environment, and I felt for the first time that I had a place of acceptance. And that's really how I just quickly came to get so fully immersed into that life.
What advice do you have for churches, church leaders, and family members who agree that this is a biblically incorrect way to live one's life, but to also be there in an effective way for those people?
The thing that I would like to stress to Christians is that it doesn't matter what your bondage is, whether it's drugs or alcohol, homosexuality, porn, addiction. No, all of us at one time in our life, we've made some mistakes. We've obviously made poor choices and maybe have gone on the wrong path. I think it's a fair statement to say that nobody wakes up in the morning wanting to make decisions that will ultimately cause them grief and depression and sadness and sorrow and hopelessness. No one wants to be addicted to drugs or alcohol or have a sexual addiction or even struggle with homosexuality. And I would ask the Christians to please just be more compassionate. And even if you don't understand it, always talk to an individual to get more insight into their life and be a friend to them. And instead of judging them, know that, you know, for me, it didn't matter what Christian said. It was really going to take the hand of God to really work into my life to help me to see the areas of brokenness that needed to be dealt with. And he had to give me the right kind of healing that I needed in order for me to have the strength to walk away from that life. So I would ask Christians, the best thing you can do is not only be a friend to them, you can still tell them the truth in love, you know, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or homosexuality or porn, but be a friend and pray for them. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can transform someone's life. And I would say that there is hope for anyone who's struggling with whatever the bondage is.
George, oftentimes, and we saw it especially during the debate over the legalization of same-sex marriage, same-sex partners are very much like heterosexuals. They have these lifelong commitments to each other and so forth, and all they're looking for is equal treatment under the law. In the book, you point out that that was what you were looking for, kind of an exclusive long-term relationship, but that's not really something that exists very much in that community. What did you find?
At least in my experience, and I really lived in the clubs and the bars, I didn't find that monogamy was really the predominant behavior. I'm sure there are gay rights activists who will say, well, there are some who are monogamous and committed and faithful, but that to me is an exception rather than the norm. I just found in my experiences that it's a very promiscuous life. And that's just what I saw, and I was actively involved in that as well. I'm not proud of it, but it's what I needed to go through at that time.
And another thing that you've noticed, and I don't know exactly how you phrased it in the book, but basically in that lifestyle, there's a premium placed on youth. And there have been stories in recent weeks, I don't know how closely you've been following them, stories about Milo Yiannopoulos and George Takei, the Star Trek actor and so forth, revealing how they, when they were very young teens, 13 or 14 years old, involved in either individual experiences or even multiple experiences with people who were adults at that time. How common was that in that lifestyle while you were in it?
Definitely. Youth is valued. And as I said in one interview, it's very disheartening to see elderly men sitting at the bars getting drunk with no one giving them any attention, unless, of course, they're paying for hookers to male prostitutes, that is, to spend time with them. And that was really one of the things that started to wake me up to how just sad the life was, in addition to just trying to find love, and which just seemed impossible. And with all of the promiscuity and the drugs and the alcohol and all of the brokenness and the addictions, and I'm sure there are some gay rights activists who will attack what I'm saying, but again, this is not everyone. This is a generalization, but it is that rampant, and it's very hard to find stability and monogamy and peace in that life. And I just started to really get honest about, this is not working for me and I've got to get out of it, but I just didn't know how. And again, that's going to take a committed effort with God to do that.
So you grew tired of the life before you actually found salvation in Christ. Walk through that a little bit, because I know you also dabbled in Eastern mysticism and New Age type things, trying to find that that spiritual connection, but ultimately they came up empty for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I wasn't doing it to be rebellious against God. I really had a lot of anger and hatred towards Christians. And as much as I was angry with God, I was still hurting. I was still longing for something with him. I'm sorry, I might get emotional when I say this, but I longed to have something with him, and I just didn't know how to do it. I think what God had to do for me was allow me to go through all of these roots and find constant emptiness, and nothing was giving me satisfaction, whether it was life and the homosexual lifestyle, or whether it was looking through alternative forms of religion. I finally got to the point where I realized God is the only way, but how do I get back to him, and how do I have a relationship with him? But I was trying to avoid the Christians, and God was just, he pretty much had to get me immersed back into the church slowly. And I'll tell you real quickly, for 2 years, I went to a Bible study on a Monday night where I just went and I listened and I learned about the book of Genesis. And it really gave me a much more in-depth understanding of God's word. And it was there that my hunger really built. And I desired to know more about God's word, but it allowed me to slowly get my feet wet back in a church setting around Christians. And God graciously was putting Christians in my life who weren't mean-spirited. They were very loving and supportive just in terms of me and where I was. So that really was some of the healing that I needed to slowly start getting involved back in church.
You also spent a little bit of time with a more liberal Christian church that was more embracing of the gay community. And you ultimately came to the conclusion that while they might be well-intentioned, they're actually not doing anybody any favors.
Exactly. I will honestly tell you, I wanted to know what God, where he really stood on it, and I couldn't get peace. And what really kept me in turmoil was I would listen to the conservative Christian side and the liberal Christian side, and both spoke with such authority. And so many times I would sit in my car and lean on the steering wheel and just cry and sob and beg God for answers. And I told him, if it's right, then give me peace about it and bring a good Christian man in my life, because I want this settled. And if it's wrong, just help me to know it and settle it in my heart. And I said, I'm still going to be committed to you. I really want to know where you stand on this issue. And I just told God, I don't want to hear any more from the conservative or the liberal Christians. I really want to know where you stand on this issue, and somehow I need peace about it. And as I said in the interview about when God brought up the word deprogramming, it was then that I started to realize he's not going to give me peace listening to the liberal Christian theology, because they made some good points, but something, it just didn't sit well with me. And I finally just had to go, enough of this. It was really taking a toll on my mental and emotional state. And I finally just walked away from that life. I walked out of the bars. I stopped hanging around a lot of my gay friends. I stopped hanging around liberal Christians, and I started just immersing myself in God's word. And that's where I really started to get answers and peace about where God really stands on this issue.
How would you describe your life today? Is there still a temptation? Do you want to start a heterosexual family? Or do you just not even look at that right now?
I'm not. I may struggle with the same-sex attraction as many LGBT individuals do. And I want to say to them more than anything, if they are listening to this interview, for me, the longest time, what caused me so much depression was you would hear about the ex-gay stories. And I knew that in my heart, I wasn't attracted to a woman. I didn't know that celibacy was an option. And when I found out that there were a lot of LGBT individuals who were walking away from that life and giving their life to Christ and choosing the path of celibacy because they wanted to please God, that really gave me hope. And I started finding a number of testimonies on YouTube and Google, and that really gave me the encouragement I need. And so today, I've been on the road of celibacy for 9 years, and it actually has been great. It's one of the best decisions I've made for myself, and I just want to be committed to God now. I'm not interested in looking for relationships of any kind. I just want God to use me however he sees fit, and I want to be free to be able to do that.
George, it's a dramatic story, and I know it takes a lot of courage to share that story, both in an interview and in the book that you've written. Thank you for doing so, and thank you for your time tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
George Carneal is the author of From Queer to Christ, My Journey into the Light. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.